Our first reading comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, will be read by Susan.
The final judgment. When the Son of Man comes as King and all the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne. And the people of all nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people at his right and the others at his left. Then the king will say to the people to his right, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you received me in your homes. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. In prison, and you visited me." The righteous will then answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Away from me, you that are under God's curse, away to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you would not feed me, thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me in your homes. Naked, but you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me." Then they will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and we would not help you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you refuse to help one of those less important ones, you refuse to help me. These then will be sent off to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life."
Our second group of readings comes from the Old Testament, from the books of the law, Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and will be read by Deborah.
Deuteronomy 4, the great commandment. Israel, remember this: the Lord and the Lord alone is our God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Never forget the commands that I'm giving you today. Teach them to your children. Repeat them when you're at home, and when you're away, when you're resting, and when you're walking. Leviticus 17-18, chapter 19. Laws of holiness and justice. Do not bear a grudge against anyone, but settle your differences with him, so that you will not commit a sin because of him. Do not take revenge on anyone or continue to hate him, but love your neighbour as you love yourself. I am the Lord.
And our third reading will be from Chris, from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2.
A reading from St Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. The parable of the Good Samaritan. A teacher of the law came up and tried to trap Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, What must I do to receive eternal life? Jesus answered him, What do the scriptures say? How do you interpret them? The man answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. You are right, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, Who is my neighbor? Jesus answered, There was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him, stripped him, and beat him up, leaving him half dead. It so happened that a priest was going down that road, but when he saw the man, he walked on by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite also came along, went over and looked at the man, and then walked on by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was traveling that way came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. He went over to him, poured oil and wine on his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own animal and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Take care of him, he told the innkeeper, and when I come back this way, I will pay you whatever else you spend on him. And Jesus concluded, In your opinion, which of these three acted like a neighbor towards the man attacked by the robbers? The teacher of the law answered, The one who was kind to him. Jesus replied, You go then and do the same. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Chris. But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, Who is my neighbor? The parable of the Good Samaritan is one of the best known stories which Jesus told. We may think we know it, but how well do we? Although Mark and Matthew record Jesus' conversation with the teacher of the law, it is only in Luke's gospel that we have the story of the Good Samaritan. Luke was writing primarily for Greek-speaking Christians, those who are of a Jewish origin, and chooses to relate many stories which show Jesus' empathy with outsiders, Gentiles, women and Samaritans. The teacher of the law, who asked Jesus what he should do to receive eternal life, thought that he knew all the answers, and he wanted to trap Jesus on the meaning of the Jewish law. It was this teacher's duty to know the law and to explain it to the Jews, so he was able to reply when Jesus asked him what was written in the scriptures. He was able to quote from the appropriate passages in the books of the law in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Do not take revenge on anyone or continue to hate him, but love your neighbor as you love yourself. I am the Lord. On the question of loving one's neighbor, the Jewish laws made it clear that strangers should be treated kindly, as the story of Boaz and his behavior towards the Moabite woman Ruth shows. However, many Jews must have found it difficult to be kind to foreigners because they'd suffered so much in the past. Did the teacher of the law, who was able to quote these passages, really know what it meant to love his neighbour as himself? Jesus wanted to show that the law was not just a matter of words and thoughts, but that it entailed practical action as well. So he told the teacher of the law the story of the Good Samaritan, which we've heard and seen illustrated as well. The location of this parable would have been well known to Jews. Jerusalem was 1,300 feet above sea level, and Jericho was 1,700 feet below sea level. The desolate, twisting road between the two cities was well known for its dangers, and people did not usually go that way for choice. This was lonely, rocky country where hidden bandits could so easily see travellers and descend on them to rob them. Travelling on this route, as in fact I have done by coach, it's easy to imagine what it might have been like 2,000 years ago. It is still desolate, although I noticed that one enterprising individual has set up an inn of the Good Samaritan on the route. You can see this view here, view of the desolate Judean countryside. The first person to pass by after the man was robbed was a priest. A good man, you might have thought. A leader of his people. But he was too bound up with his own concerns, with his religious duties. He did not want to get involved. Do we? The priest may have thought that the man was dead, and that if he had touched him to find out, he would have had to perform certain cleaning rituals. However, that doesn't excuse his behaviour. The same thing applies to the Levite, who also passed by. He was a descendant of Levi, one of Jacob's sons. He was a member of the Jewish tribe, the Levites, and they were appointed to serve in the temple in Jerusalem. Do we ever pass by as these two did? Thirdly, a Samaritan saw the injured man. As we can read elsewhere in the Gospels, Jews and Samaritans went out of their way to avoid contact with each other. The Gospel of John recounts the incident of the Samaritan woman who was drawing water from a well and who was very surprised when Jesus came up to her and spoke to her. Jews living in Galilee in the north of the Holy Land, we can have the map up again now, please, would need to travel south to visit the temple in Jerusalem. However, they would usually avoid the shortest route, going straight due south, which went through Samaria, and would instead, quite often, cross over to the east bank of the River Jordan, then continue south, and then recross the Jordan at Jericho to make the way up to Jerusalem. The same route, of course, as in the story of the Good Samaritan. Antipathy between the Jews and the Samaritans had been in existence for several hundred years. The Samaritans were the descendants of those Israelites who had remained in Israel and intermarried with other races when the majority of the Israelites were taken away into captivity in Babylon. The Samaritans refused to recognize the authority of the temple in Jerusalem, and had the fact they had their own temple to Jehovah on their own sacred mountain, Gerizim. They accepted Moses as the lawgiver, but rejected the rules and traditions of the Pharisees. They observed Jewish rites and rituals, but denied the authority of the Jewish priesthood. To pious Jews, the term Samaritan was in fact a word of reproach. However, it was a Samaritan in the story who felt sorry for the injured person and went to some considerable trouble and expense to help him. At the end of the story, Jesus reverses the question by asking the teacher of the law to say who was a neighbor to the injured man. The teacher of the law could not bring himself to say the word Samaritan, but in his answer, the one who was kind to him, the teacher had his reply to his original question, who is my neighbor? Now, we may sometimes feel it's easier for this Samaritan in the story to recognize neighbors than it is for us in our rather more complex 21st century world. But people can be lonely in a crowd of others who are enjoying themselves, as well as when they are alone. The Samaritans organization, which takes its name from this story, was set up to help people who are lonely or desperate, and do excellent work. I'm sure we've all heard in the news about people who have died alone, where apparently no one took the trouble to find out what had happened to them. It was often sometimes weeks or even months before they were found. We can also think of those who have been suffering through wars, famine, and disease, and natural disasters such as the recent floods and earthquakes. These people are just as much our neighbors. It's so easy to ignore or stir up fear and hatred of those who are different or foreign, as in fact we saw in the recent European Union referendum campaign. The point of the story is that our neighbour is anyone who is in need of help. This was brought home to me recently when I went out one evening to a meeting in Parsonage Lane. Fortunately, I was not attacked, but I tripped on the pavement and was unable to get up. Several vehicles passed by, but either the drivers didn't see me or they ignored me. And in fact, it wasn't until someone I knew who happened to come along that same way who helped me up. On the other hand, there have been many occasions when strangers have offered to help me when I've fallen over or been carrying a heavy bag or I needed a seat. And in fact, only recently, remember when we had this very heavy snowstorm and one of my neighbours, who I hadn't actually met before, came over to me and said she was going out to get some food and did I want anything? So an example of someone who was giving practical help. Let not our Lord say of us, I was hungry, but you would not feed me, thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me in your house, naked, but you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me. Christ died for all of us. Christian love should recognize no boundaries. As we serve others, we serve our Lord and are with him. If we refuse, we separate ourselves from his love. And Jesus concluded, in your opinion, which one of these three acted like a neighbor towards the man attacked by the robbers? The teacher of the law answered, the one who was kind to him. Jesus replied, you go then and do the same.